It's early morning, still dark outside, and how do you kick off your day? Now, most would say they hit a coffee shop or a Starbucks, maybe a donut shop, and grab a hot cup to go. That cup of coffee, it's a habit for some and a ritual for many. But did you ever think about a different kind of libation to kickstart your day? We're going to talk about the 6 a.m. bar on this episode of The Attitude Adjustment Hour. Hi, everybody. Dennis Cruz here. Like a lot of you, I love coffee in the morning. But did you ever have a hankering for a gin fizz, maybe a Bloody Mary, a coffee royal to kickstart your day? Yeah, I know to some it may sound really sick. Hey, what's your problem? But let me tell you, there's a simple pleasure to having that occasional early morning bracer. One problem, though. Good luck finding a tavern that opened their doors at 6 a.m. or even before lunchtime these days. Now, sure, it's a different world today, but San Francisco and the entire Bay Area, for that matter, when I was growing up, it used to be a 6 a.m. bar town in the 50s, 60s, and even early 70s. These bars were scattered all through the Mission District, along the waterfront, throughout North Beach and Chinatown. And who would you see in these places? Longshoremen coming off a graveyard shift, teamsters looking for a little bracer against the fog before making deliveries, stevedores that are unloading ships full of coffee and bananas, and produce guys getting all the boxes of fresh fruits and vegetables from the valley all ready to go out to the grocery stores. A little side note here. San Francisco's Wholesale Produce Center used to be downtown. If you've ever visited the city by the bay, the old produce market was in that area near Embarcadero Center, not too far from the ferry building. 6 a.m. was mid-shift, so a beer and a shot with your sandwich wasn't really frowned upon in those days. You'd have a hard time showing me a half dozen bars that open at that time these days. You'd probably have a hard time showing me a blue-collar working man in San Francisco, too. At least one that can get away with drinking during lunch hours. But that luxury's gone the way of the three-martini lunch. The town's on a different timetable these days, and maybe for the better. Now, when I was a teenager growing up in San Francisco, I worked out of the Teamsters hiring hall, and occasionally I got sent out with a delivery driver that made commercial food deliveries. The guy's name was Ed, and he loved having me as his lumper. Lumper being the term that they would give to a non-driving helper, and basically it's the guy that's going to do most of the heavy work. He'd drive the truck, he'd park the truck, and he'd have me haul 50-pound sacks of rice, sugar, flour down into the storerooms under Chinatown. Now, if you're wandering around San Francisco, take a look on the sidewalk. See the double-door metal grate that's in front of a lot of the storefronts? That's a delivery entrance. They open that steel grate on the sidewalk, and if you're lucky, they've got a chute that you can toss the boxes and sacks down into. But more often than not, you're climbing down the stairs with your deliveries at an angle that'd give a mountain goat problems. We'd start early. You really can't make commercial deliveries in the city when traffic gets heavy, where there's nowhere to park. It gets impossible on those one-way streets that were originally made for horse and buggy traffic. So it's around 5:45 in the morning, and Ed stops the truck at our first delivery. We ring a bell, and the grate pushes up and open, exposing a dim-lighted cave. No chute in this one, just a thin stairway down into the depths. Ed pushes a 50-pound sack of rice to the end of the van floor. It's at shoulder height, so I hoist it up on my shoulder, and I head down into the hole. I got a duck under a greasy brick door jamb because the place wasn't built for a six-footer. I get down to the bottom, I adjust my eyesight to the dark, and a tiny man appears like something out of The Hobbit. "You stack 'em here, you stack 'em here," he tells me. The little Chinese chef, he's like the commandant of this place, he's barking at me in pidgin English. He wants me to stack the delivery in a small closet, and he wants it stacked to the roof, and he wants it stacked the way he wants it stacked. A pain in the ass, though, you better believe it. 15 trips up and down, I've got this guy barking at me, my calves are aching, and I'm covered in sweat and rice dust. I make my final climb up out of the sidewalk hole, and Ed looks at his watch and says, "Coffee break." "Well, good, I could use a cup of coffee." And where do we go? We headed for one of the neighborhood's many bars, almost all of them open at 6 a.m. back in those days. Now, I remember the first stop. It was Red's Place in Chinatown. It's the oldest existing bar there, and it's still there. It's on Jackson Street, about a half block down from Grant Avenue. This is a classic Chinatown dive, and I do mean dive. Red's was and still is a pretty no-frills joint. It sports none of the ornament that many of the other Chinatown bars try to affect. No statues of Buddha, no good luck money tree, no ornamental oriental light fixtures. Red's isn't a Chinese bar, it's more of a bar in Chinatown with a mostly Chinese-American clientele drinking American beer and highballs. There was a calendar with a beautiful Chinese singer smiling over her shoulder at you, advertising some local establishment, a few neons of some of the beers they offered, and I remembered a sign on the old cash register. It said something like, "I don't have a drinking problem. I drink, I get drunk, no problem." That's a dive bar staple, that one. Early morning, and there's a small huddle of locals who may have been there since the previous night. They're playing bar dice, slamming the cups down, and yelling in Cantonese. A bowl of sunflower seeds as the bar snack. I mean, strangest thing you ever seen. Spit shells all over the floor. Mind you now, it's 6:15 in the morning, and Ed orders up, not coffee, but a gin and tonic, short. And he follows it up with, "And get a Coke for the kid." Now, I guess to his credit, Ed didn't want to contribute to the delinquency of any minor, and especially one that's doing all this heavy work for him. And since I was only 17, I was underage anyway. But age wasn't nothing but a number in most San Francisco bars back then. Reds would have served me, but Ed had to keep me steady for sack hauling duties. He finishes up his short gin and tonic, a little small talk with the bartender, and we're back at the truck. Pull down a block, another sidewalk delivery. This time maybe 20 tin cans of peanut oil, and more of the Chinatown trifecta. Flour, sugar, rice. I climb up to fresh air after this delivery, and it's another coffee break. This time at a place called Cookies Star Buffet. Cookies had a big neon sign outside in the shape of a San Francisco Police Department badge, a seven-pointed star. Pretty apropos considering that Cookies was a few doors away from the old Hall of Justice on Kearney Street, right across the street from Portsmouth Square. Now, anyone old enough to remember the old Raymond Burr TV cop show Ironsides? The show was set in the city. The reality is they actually only showed the old Hall of Justice. They filmed one shot, showed it every time they wanted to show old Ray and his boys and where they were hanging out. But the rest of Ironsides was filmed in L.A. Hey, but I digress. Even with the actual hall gone for many, many years, having relocated to South of Market in about 1961, the place is filled at that time in the morning with uniformed cops, lawyers, probably a reporter or two, and a few shady-looking characters just kind of sprinkled in the mix. Ed was greeted like the regular he was, and before he could bark out gin and tonic short, the drink was up on the bar, and a Coke for the kid. A quick one, and we're out. Up the hill, another delivery, and the same old again. Ed gets me there and at least pushes the delivery toward the tailgate. Fine, I'm taking him up and downstairs, into the depths, hauling, stacking, climbing up to get more. Thankfully, I didn't have any alcohol. I probably would have lost my breakfast donut all over a sack of CNH sugar. Now, we hit at least seven bars that morning. Lipo, Buddha, the Bao Bao Cocktail Lounge, up and down Grant. We're making a delivery. We have another coffee-free coffee break. Ed seemingly not affected by his consumption at each break. Frankly, I was more affected by my Cokes because after a few, the seal was broken, so to speak. We'd head into a bar. Ed's making his order. I'm asking, where's the bathroom? In the back, kid. I don't know if the fact that Ed's drinks were short made any difference on him. More than likely, the fact that he had the same routine for years, he built up a tolerance. I don't know whatever happened to this guy, but if he donated his liver to science, I'd like to read the report. One thing that sticks in my mind from those times is that virtually every bar in San Francisco, and most of them up and down the peninsula in the East Bay, they all open their doors at 6 a.m. That's definitely not the case anymore. But there are still a few holdouts. I know one of my favorite places in the world is Gino and Carlo on Green Street in North Beach. They open their doors at 6. A few blocks away, Vesuvio, that gorgeous old remnant from the Beatnik era. It's on Columbus, about a half block down from Broadway. They also open at 6. The Gold Dust Lounge down in Union Square on Powell Street, where, by the way, they make a stellar Irish coffee. They open at 6 a.m. Clooney's out on Valencia in the Mission District. Maybe a couple of down in the Tenderloin, but that's about it. Cocktails in the morning? Some would call it degenerate. I say it can be a pretty happy hour every once in a while. So why don't you take the rest of this hour and think about maybe hitting the bars some morning. Grab a Bloody, maybe a Ramos Gin Fizz. Beautiful way to start the day. It's a whole different experience. It can be a really fun way to kick off a football watching Saturday or a weekday off of work. But I'd advise against driving a delivery truck after downing a few. Not a good idea, even if it is a gin and tonic short. You can catch all episodes online at aahour.com. You can also get the show by going to 910.com, click on podcasts, You can follow me on Twitter. I'm Den Cruz. That's D-E-N-C-R-U-Z, all one word. And I love your feedback. Please email me your thoughts and suggestions at aahour@yahoo.com. Hopefully, I've lubricated the thought process for you. This is Dennis Cruz, and thanks for joining me on the Attitude Adjustment Hour.